What went wrong? Most everything. What went right? A few things in the Monday night loss to the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter. And while we're asking for things, why don't you make sure you click that subscribe button in your podcast feed so you get Locked On Rams every single day. And we also have our Locked On Rams YouTube page. It's a great way to listen to the pod as well. We got a lot to get to on today's pod. I just finished up the Rams pregame show, halftime show, and postgame show like I've been doing every season since 2016 when the Rams returned to Los Angeles. And we'll give you a little bit of a grab bag, kind of some loose ends and some things that we'll chew on in a little bit more detail later on in the week. I want to talk about what went right. Believe it or not, there were a few things that I thought looked pretty good for the Rams on Monday night against the 49ers, and we will get started right here with some of the things that did not look very good at all. The things that went wrong that ultimately ended up with the Rams losing 24-9 to San Francisco for the seventh consecutive time in the regular season. Jimmy Garoppolo is 7-0 against the Rams in his 49er career during the regular season, 0-1 in the playoffs, which I guess is some solace that the Rams won the one that mattered the most, but just a very little solace at the moment. Indeed, we'll get to that coming up in the grab bag in just a little bit. But so what did not go right tonight? What led to another just really just a carbon copy of what we've seen the 49ers be able to do against the Rams for the last several seasons? Let's start up front. Let's start with the Rams offensive line. This was game four, right? This is week four of the NFL season. This was the fourth different offensive line that the Rams have started in four games. And quite frankly, you'll probably see a fifth one on Saturday against the Dallas Cowboys. And if things keep going the way they are, who knows? Maybe we'll see Andrew Whitworth return at some point. So that'll be lineup number 6, 7, or 14 or whatever it is by the time he gets here, if in fact he gets here. It went from bad to worse. So basically, here's where we are with the Rams offensive line. Left tackle Joe Noteboom has been okay, but at least he's the guy you started the season with there. He's still there. Let's move one spot to our right. David Edwards, who is usually your right guard, he was in concussion protocol. He did not play tonight. Bobby Evans played left guard in his stead. The center position is where it gets particularly interesting. Brian Allen, your starting center week one, has been down. He has not played for the last few weeks. Coleman Shelton, who is your starting right guard, had moved to center the last couple of weeks. He went down very, very early in the game, which means we are on to center number three. In Jeremiah Colone, right? So this is not ideal. Third string center. Go to right guard. It started with Coleman Shelton. He goes down. Tremaine Ankrum goes down. And now you have Alaric Jackson, who is your third string right guard. And then on the right side, far out at the end there at the tackle, is Rob Havenstein. So here's what you got. First string, second string, third string, third string, first string. Good luck trying to get anything done with that sort of offensive line cohesion. It's virtually impossible, and it showed tonight. The Rams gave up 7 sacks to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford was catching the snap about the same time that guys like Joey Bosa were in the backfield. There's virtually nothing he could do. Even if he were playing well, which he isn't, there's not much you can do with that lack of protection up front. So that was the big one for me. They're just, you know, whether it's an excuse, whether it's an explanation, it really doesn't matter all that much. It just was simply not good enough. And it's a real area of concern moving forward, because if you can't get that figured out to some point, I don't know what you're supposed to do, which brings us to the next part, the running back situation. No one's saying that you got to have Earl Campbell or Todd Gurley or somebody that you're going to give the ball to 18 or 20 or 25 or 30 times along the way. But the Rams really only had 15 rushing attempts tonight between Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson, 8 for 1, 7 for the other. They combined for a grand total of 40 yards. So you're talking about getting less than 3 yards on average per carry, and you're not running it very much. Now, part of that is, like we just talked about with the offensive line, it's really hard to get anything going when you have no push-up front. But at some point, you're going to have to find something in the running game, or guys are just going to pin their ears back and come for Matthew Stafford. And while he's shown he can make a bunch of throws under duress, you can't ask him to throw the ball 50 times a game. It's just not a winning formula for any team in the league. If you got to pass it 50 times, you are in big, big trouble. Matthew Stafford had to pass it 48 times last night against the 49ers. It's just not going to work. So that's another big part of it as well. Continuing to stay on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about Allen Robinson again, or more to the point, let's talk about what Allen Robinson isn't doing. I would really like somebody inside the organization to offer an explanation as to why he's struggling the way that it is, because he's not getting open. They're really not looking at him. He had 2 catches. Neither one of them had any meaningful impact on the game at all. He's slipping and sliding all over the field. And I get it might happen once in a while, but he's slipping and sliding a lot. So what's going on there? This was the guy that I thought was supposed to take pressure off of Cooper Kupp, a guy that could be a viable number two threat, a guy that was going to finally have that quarterback in Matthew Stafford, a guy that was going to finally have an offensive head coach in Sean McVay and really thrive in the environment that just about everybody that's come over to the Rams has thrived in. And absolutely nothing going with Allen Robinson last night. It's a huge problem. Cooper Kupp, which we'll talk about in the things that went right, he's doing everything he can, but somebody other than him has to do something. And that somebody, quite frankly, it has to be Allen Robinson. He's the one guy that has the skill set that's on the field enough to make an impact. I mean, this was a huge free agent acquisition in Allen Robinson. And to say that you've gotten nothing is not the least bit of an exaggeration. I know he had the halfway decent game against Atlanta where they were force feeding him the ball, but even that was a pretty mild production day. We're talking 1 touchdown in 4 games. We're talking 0 games where he's had a big impact on what you're doing offensively. That is a very, very large problem and one that needs to be addressed before too long. And then finally, let's talk a little bit about Matthew Stafford. Another pick six, his 2nd consecutive game without a touchdown pass, his 1st 2 games in his Rams career where he has not thrown a touchdown pass. Matthew Stafford threw 0 fourth-quarter interceptions last year. He's already thrown 3 this season. The Rams are being absolutely destroyed in the fourth quarter. They have a negative 41-point differential in the fourth quarter right now. That is just simply unacceptable. That you have to be able to put some teams away, which they really haven't been able to do. They've been able to hold on, but they haven't really put anybody away. And as good as the defense has been at stretches, look, the offense has to carry some water, especially if you're going to be coming from behind the way that they have in a couple of these games. So Matthew Stafford is going to have to be a lot better as well. 2 games in a row for the Rams offense, the way that they like to play, no touchdown passes. It's pretty remarkable. And then throw in the interception as well. More interceptions on the season, 6, than touchdown passes for Matthew Stafford, 4, after a quarter of the season roughly in the books. Simply not good enough. All right, so that's everything that went wrong. What went right for the Rams? That's coming up next. First, let's talk about Athletic Greens. How about this? You know that you're onto something when your wife is saying to you all the time, hey, when are you going to get some more of that Athletic Greens? I turned her onto it. I started taking AG1 a few months ago and had noticed an unbelievable difference on how I feel. I'm sleeping better. I have more energy. My gut health is as good as it's ever been. And I can't say enough wonderful things about AG1. It has been fantastic. It is something that I have used literally every single day for the last couple of months. I started taking AG1 for, I want to have that little buzz in the morning, that little bounce, that little thing. I didn't want to have to do it with caffeine, right? We've all done coffee and all those sorts of things. I was looking for something that was a little bit more therapeutic. It was something that's a little bit more well-balanced. And oh, by the way, it just tastes great. So that's why I started taking it. I noticed all of those things because it's made with whole-sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, all the things that you gut health, sleep, energy, everything, right? And it's super easy. You get a glass of water in the morning, you throw one scoop of AG1 in, and you're good for the entire day. You're going to feel great. You're going to love it. My wife puts it in her smoothies. She loves it as well. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, it's pretty expensive, right? Well, how about this? It costs less than the $3 a day that you're spending on coffee, right? You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than going to you-know-where every single morning for your cold brew. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. Here's what you need to do. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. Make sure you check out NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. Locked On's local experts giving you the inside scoop on the five biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football, plus betting advice from the field's leading experts. Bet online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. So we talked about what did not work well for the Rams on Monday night. Let's talk about some of the things that actually weren't half bad. Yeah, you had to squint a little bit to see them, but they were there. Let's start with this. The defense, well, the final score was 24-9. The defense only gave up 17 of those points. In the modern NFL, if you only give up 17 points on defense, you should win the game. And the Rams' defense has been pretty good. Now, there were some things inside that, namely their inability to stop that wide receiver screen, whether it was to Brandon Ayuk, whether it was to Debo, whether it was to Juwan Jennings, whoever they were throwing it to, it seemed to work over and over and over again. That's certainly something that you would think that the Rams would have expected. It's the same play they hit him with last year and the year before that and the year before that. It just seems that the Rams are not quite able to sniff that play out when it's coming up on third down time and time again. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. But generally speaking, the defense really stepped up big. They had a nice goal line stand, forced them into to kick a field goal towards the end of the game. They're keeping it at a one-score game. Now, the eight-point gap at that point felt like an 80-point gap, but, you know, at least theoretically, the Rams had a chance to tie the game with a touchdown and a two-point conversion. So give the defense credit for that. They gave up a couple of big plays, but again, 17 points on the defensive side of the ball. You're feeling pretty good about that overall. Cooper Kupp was another thing that I thought was particularly good on Monday night. 14 catches, a career best for him, over 100 yards, did not get into the end zone. Nobody on the Rams got into the end zone in that game, but he continues to just be an absolutely remarkable NFL player. He continues to be a guy that can get open at will. Now, the rub is, of course, he's not a guy that's going to run past you necessarily. He's not a guy that's a terribly terrifying deep threat, right? That somebody else is going to have to pick up some of that slack, whether it's Allen Robinson or Van Jefferson when he comes back. Maybe they can still get OBJ at some point. Tutu Atwell was not activated for this game, so he's really not an option at this point. Brandon Powell had a couple of chances along the way, but Cooper Kupp, I mean, there were shades of the Super Bowl in this game, not the result and certainly not the feeling around it, but the end of the Super Bowl in February was, hey, listen, everybody else is either not up for this or hurt, so we're just going to throw it to Cooper Kupp every time. And if it works, great, we'll win the Super Bowl. If it doesn't, then, well, what are you going to do? It worked there. It was really the only offense they had going in the Super Bowl. This was kind of the only offense they had going for most of the night against San Francisco was, let's throw it to Cooper Kupp. I really also think that's what led to the pick six, because everybody in the building, including the 49ers, knew that the ball was going to Kupp. So the guy jumped the route. It wasn't a particularly good throw. It was telegraphed, the whole thing. But I guess the silver lining of all of this is Cooper Kupp is still having all sorts of success in getting open. He's such a tough runner. He plays hard and just continues to impress game after game after game. But listen, there the 49ers did it. Buffalo did it. I know that Dallas is probably going to try to do it next Sunday afternoon. There's not a team in football that won't sign. Look, you can have 25 catches. You can have 200 yards. I don't care. As long as no one else does anything, I don't have to worry about it too much because he's not going to run by and score a bunch of, 60 and 75 yard touchdowns. Somebody else needs to step up and do a good job right there. Tyler Higbee, another decent night tonight. You know, we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, looking for some positivity there. Tyler Higbee, was pretty good. He had a handful of catches, kept a couple of drives going early on, and he really is the only other viable offensive threat. But again, just not nearly dangerous enough, not dangerous enough the way that OBJ certainly was, not even really dangerous in the way that Robert Woods was. Robert Woods wasn't going to take the top off of a defense, but at least there was the threat of him picking up, 35, 40 yards on a given play. We've seen him do it with Sammy Watkins. We've seen him do it with Brandon Cooks. They're going to have to find somebody they can get done. Even DeSean Jackson, as limited a time as he had, we saw the element of danger that he would bring to the Rams offense. It is really lacking right now, despite the fact that Tyler Higbee put together a pretty good night. And then finally, on the bright side, Matt Gay, 3 of 3, kicking field goals. None of them particularly bombs, but he just continues to roll, and he's kind of money in the bank at this point. Hopefully the Rams can find something that will allow him to kick some field goals at the end of games that matter, as opposed to just trading field goals because they couldn't punch the ball in the red zone. And that's what it was tonight. They would get close a couple of times and there'd be a penalty or the drive would stall. Matt Gay comes in, kicks 3 field goals on the night. So a good night for him. He continues to be one of the best kickers in football. But again, if you're really, really struggling to find positivity when you're talking about Matt Gay kicking 3 field goals, not that there's anything wrong with that, but when that's the entirety of your offense, that things aren't exactly going the way that you'd like to draw them up. Let's come back with a little grab bag, some other observations, some other things to keep your eye on moving forward. A little grab bag after Monday Night Football coming up next. But first, a little bit about Bet Online, right? We're on the right side of that Rams-Niners game. The Niners were favored by 2, and well, let's just say it felt a lot more like 20 going into that one. The under did hit, though, so that's always kind of interesting. You can find all of this information at the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, and analysis on every game that you would like to find out about. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, golf, you name it, they got you covered at Bet Online. Head on over to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, so a couple of loose ends to get into. We'll spend some more time as we get a little bit further into the week and start looking forward to the Cowboys and what's coming up there. Sean McVay said something very interesting in his press conference afterwards. Sean McVay, I have listened to every Sean McVay post-game conference since he got the job. I am fully fluent in Sean McVay speech. I know what he's going to say before he says it, because most of the time his post-game comments are pretty predictable that, we got to clean some things up. We got to do a better job. We got to put guys in a better position to succeed. Congratulations to the other team. They're very well coached. That's kind of the script after a loss. This one included a line that said, guys we're counting on are not doing what we need them to do. For Sean McVay, that's a pretty big swing. For Sean McVay, that is a criticism. And guys that we're counting on means veterans, right? This is not rookies. This is not guys that you would do, if you get something great, but you're not really expecting. Guys that we're counting on are not doing what we're expecting them to do means veteran players. Maybe it's the running backs. Maybe it's the other wide receivers not named Cooper Kupp. Maybe it's Matthew Stafford. Maybe it's all of the above. But I did think it was interesting. Now, he included his coaching staff in some of this too, but this was the first time this season, and we've seen it happen before, specifically with Jared Goff a couple of years ago, but this is the first time it's like, listen, our guys got to play better. They need to execute the plan that we're asking them to execute better. Yes, I need to come up with better plans, but we're not even doing the things that they're being asked to do. For Sean McVay, that's a pretty big deal. That's not something that you hear from him all that often. Here's the other thing that I think is getting pretty interesting pretty quickly. The schedule for the Rams coming up over the next 4, 5, 6 games is a monster. You've got Carolina after. So here's what's coming up. Dallas at home. Dallas is a lot like the 49ers defensively. They've got a monster in Micah Parsons who is going to make your life very, very difficult for an offensive line that's banged up. You got a pretty successful secondary that's going to put a lot of pressure on guys like Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. So that is a game that you probably would thought that the Rams would be feeling pretty good about. Now it feels like a game that could really go either way. Then you've got Carolina on the backside of that. You know, Carolina's struggling. Maybe that's one that it's kind of a get-right situation for the Rams potentially. Hopefully to take them to 4-2, maybe to get them back to 500 at 3-3, depending on how that Dallas game goes. Then you get your bye, and after that, it's San Francisco and it's Tampa. Okay, and then we know what comes after that. Then you've got Green Bay and Kansas City, and you've got Arizona coming into the Coliseum or to the SoFi Stadium again. The schedule for a Super Bowl champ is always brutal. This one is particularly brutal because you got the 49ers coming up again before too long, and then you've got the heavyweights from the AFC West. You've got the other two teams in the NFC that are probably going to be very near the end of the line in Tampa and Green Bay waiting for you as well. It does not get any easier. Every single week is going to be a fight for the Rams moving forward. It'll be very interesting to see how this week of practice goes. It'll be very interesting to see what Sean McVay says as we move through the week, that, you know, the 24-hour rule in the NFL, good, bad, or otherwise, you know, for one day you can kind of enjoy it. For one day you can kind of lick your wounds, and then you got to get right back to work. Well, if you play on Monday Night Football, that one day is kind of out the window. They are right back at it before too long, and they got to get a whole bunch of things figured out, because for the first time really since 2019, and we'll talk about this on tomorrow's pod, kind of comparing this squad to the 2019 squad that came back this season after the Rams lost the Super Bowl, it just feels like the pieces aren't quite fitting together the way that Sean McVay and the Rams were hoping. That's coming up on tomorrow's Locked On Rams. Thanks again for making us your first listen. It's every single day. Now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson giving you the expert NFL analysis that you need in less than 30 minutes. It too is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.